Hear the word of God as it is contained in the Bible, in the New Testament, in the Gospel according to St. Matthew. Matthew chapter 26, reading verses 17 to 30. It is on page 757 of the Pew Bible. 757. Hear the word of God. The title in this Bible is The Last Supper. On the first day of the festival of unleavened bread, the disciples came to Jesus and asked, "Where do you want us to prepare the Passover meal for you?" "As you go into the city," he told them, "you will see a certain man. Tell him, 'The teacher says, my time has come, and I will eat the Passover meal with my disciples at your house.'" So the disciples did as Jesus told them and prepared the Passover meal there. When it was evening, Jesus sat down at the table with the 12 disciples. While they were eating, he said, "I tell you the truth, one of you will betray me." Greatly distressed, each one asked in turn, "Am I the one, Lord?" He replied, "One of you who has just eaten from this bowl with me will betray me. For the Son of Man must die, as the scriptures declared long ago. But how terrible it will be for the one who betrays him. It would be far better for that man if he had never been born." Judas, the one who would betray him, also asked, "Rabbi, am I the one?" And Jesus told him, "You have said it." As they were eating, Jesus took some bread and blessed it. Then he broke it into pieces and gave it to the disciples, saying, "Take this and eat it, for this is my body." And he took a cup of wine and gave thanks to God for it. He gave it to them and said, "Each of you drink from it, for this is my blood, which confirms the covenant between God and his people. It is poured out as a sacrifice to forgive the sins of many. Mark my words, I will not drink wine again until the day I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom." Then they sang a hymn and went out to the Mount of Olives. Thanks be to God for this reading of his word. May he add his blessing to it, and his name be all honour and glory. Amen.
May the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight. Amen. In a short while, we are going to share in that most significant of feasts. We're going to dine at the Lord's table in response to his invitation. I wonder how much preparation you have put into getting ready this morning. Would you have prepared differently if you knew we had an important invited guest? If the Queen and the royal family were going to be here this morning to share in our meal? If Songs of Praise was going to be broadcast from this church onto the television screens all around our nation? Would you have spent more time in getting ready? Yes. If you knew that the church was wired for sound, and that every word you said would be picked up by the microphone? Would you watch what you were saying? Would you think twice about every word you said so that others would not be offended or hurt, and that you would sound righteous and good? If the camera was on you during prayers, would you keep your eyes shut rather than look round to see what everyone else was doing? Would you pre-open your sweeties so that the sound of the wrappers crinkling away would not be picked up by the microphones or upset others? Jesus spent time in preparing for this meal. We know this because when the disciples asked him where he wanted them to prepare it, the Passover meal, he said to them, "As you go into the city, you'll see a certain man. Tell him, 'The teacher says, my time has come, and I will eat the Passover meal with my disciples at your house.'" I've often wondered about that man who was waiting for the disciples to arrive. Was he there at the entrance to Jerusalem every day, or was he there only on that day? And how did he know to be there? The Bible does not tell us. We only know that he was there, and so must have received some sort of calling, perhaps delivered by an angel in a dream or a vision, a calling to serve the Lord by opening his house to him. This unknown man was prepared to step out in faith and go to where the disciples would find him. Have you ever felt the Lord urging you to go somewhere? I know many in this congregation who have told me stories of a feeling that came upon them to go somewhere, to check on a neighbour, to phone a friend out of the blue, to send a card or flowers, to do something that was out of the ordinary, and to do it not quite knowing why. And yet, when they did what God asked of them, they often found someone in desperate need. I believe that God uses us in such ways. He speaks to our hearts when he wants us to be his messengers, to be his angels in this world, and he uses us not for our benefit, but for the benefit for some other poor or lost soul. When that man met the disciples, he was prepared to trust the disciples with his home for the sake of Jesus. We don't hear what happened to him, just as we often don't hear about the unsung heroes around us. For the disciples, it was just the beginning of the preparation for the Passover meal. The Passover meal was the start of a whole week called the Festival of Unleavened Bread. And in this case, it started on the Thursday morning, when all the leaven or yeast in a house would be cleared out. This was a symbolic activity in Jewish culture, remembering two things. Firstly, it was to remember the time when the Jews had to flee from their life of slavery in Egypt, constantly on the move, wandering in the desert for 40 years. There was no time to bake with yeast. They had to make do with unleavened bread. Bread baked in a hurry, producing something nearer to a cracker than traditional loaf. Secondly, it reminded the people that in Jewish circles, that leaven or yeast was symbolic of corruption and sin. Just think how rumour and corruption spreads. Just as yeast cells will multiply given the right conditions, fermenting and then ultimately spoiling it if left unchecked, so too does sin and corruption spread and multiply. So on the Thursday morning, the disciples would have gone off to Jerusalem, found the house that Jesus had directed them to, gone through the ritual search for yeast, cleaned out all the rooms and prepared the unleavened bread. The next job would have been to prepare the Passover lamb for the meal. On the Thursday afternoon, the disciples would have taken a lamb to the temple to be sacrificed, the carcass being returned to the house for consumption later. Again, this was a symbolic ingredient, going back to the days in Egypt and the times of the plagues. The Israelites were to be spared so that the Egyptians would let them go. Indeed, the Egyptians would want them to go, as it says in Exodus 12. Then Moses summoned all the elders of Israel and said to them, "Go at once and select the animals for your families and slaughter the Passover lamb." The blood of the lamb was smeared on the doorways of the Israelites' homes so that the angel of death would pass over. There were four other ingredients for the Passover meal that would need preparing. A bowl of salt water to remind them of the many tears shed by the people whilst they were in slavery in Egypt, and of the salty waters of the Red Sea, which God had parted in order that they might escape the pursuing Egyptians and enter the promised land. A bunch of bitter herbs would be gathered to remind them both of the herbs used to smear the lamb's blood on the door, and also of the bitterness of slavery. A paste was made with apples, dates, pomegranates and nuts, strangely to remind them of the clay from which they had been required to make bricks in Egypt. And through it, sticks of cinnamon were placed to remind them of the straw with which the bricks had been made. And fourthly, there would have been four cups of wine to remind them of the four promises of Exodus 6, which says, "Therefore say to the people of Israel, I am the Lord. I will free you from your oppression and will rescue you from slavery in Egypt. I will redeem you with a powerful arm and great acts of judgment. I will claim you as my own people, and I will be your God. Then you will know that I am the Lord your God, who has freed you from your oppression in Egypt." So, picture in your minds the busy Thursday morning and afternoon that the disciples had in preparing this most sacred of feasts. And just as the disciples had to prepare for the Passover meal, so must we prepare for the Lord's Supper. According to the Apostle Paul, we are to observe the Lord's Supper with a prepared heart. Paul said in his first letter to the Corinthians, chapter 11, "Anyone who eats this bread or drinks this cup of the Lord unworthily is guilty of sinning against the body and blood of the Lord. That is why you should examine yourself before eating the bread and drinking the cup. For if you eat the bread or drink the cup without honouring the body of Christ, you are eating and drinking God's judgment upon yourself." We are to come to the Lord's table with hearts prepared. The yeast of sin must be removed from our lives through confession and repentance. This echoes what Jesus said during the meal with his disciples. He interrupted the meal with a startling statement. He said, "I tell you the truth, one of you will betray me." Now the disciples had been told by Jesus that he would be delivered up, but they were not told that it would be by one of their own member. When faced with this news, the disciples were cut to the heart. Each man began to question himself. The Greek words indicate that they were deeply sorrowful, violently shaken by this news. They each questioned their own genuineness, their commitment to Christ. Jesus knew who would betray him, but he allowed the other disciples to see the frailty of their own natures, which is always healthy if we allow it to drive us closer to Christ and a deeper trust of him and not ourselves. Perhaps here we see the difference between self-doubt and true conviction. There was one there that knew he was not real. The others doubted. The others questioned. And they dreaded the possibility of it being them. But for Judas, there was no room for doubt or question. The Lord placed his accusing finger on the very heart of Jesus. I also believe in this scene we see the graciousness of our Lord. Jesus offers Judas a chance to repent of his evil. Jesus appeals to Judas first from this perspective of love and friendship. The Passover meal was to be observed by families according to Exodus. This band of disciples had become a family with their Lord. Each one had dipped his hand in the bowl, including Judas, as they observed this family feast. The psalmist described this awful betrayal in Psalm 41. My own familiar friend in whom I trusted, which did eat of my bread, have lifted up his heel against me. Therefore, Jesus identified the betrayer as one who shared bread with him. He was appealing to Judas in love and friendship. Then he appealed to Judas by warning of the consequences of his actions. How terrible it will be for the one who betrays him. It would be far better for that man if he had never been born. Christ warns Judas that the consequences of his actions would result in a fate so bad that it would be better if he had never existed than to face such a fate. Finally, there is a direct identification of Judas by Christ. As Judas asks and pretends like the others, "Rabbi, am I the one?" And Jesus told him, "You have said it." We see Judas's problem in his address to Jesus. Rather than call him Lord, as the other disciples who each asked, "Am I the one, Lord?" He calls Jesus Rabbi or teacher. The problem for Judas was that he did not see Jesus as Lord. Each disciple was required to examine the nature of their commitment to Jesus. And in the conversation with Judas, Jesus demonstrated his willingness to allow even the worst of sinners the space to repent. Sadly, at this point, Judas left the table and went out to do his evil deed. Where do you stand with the Lord this morning? Are you genuine in your acceptance of Jesus as Lord? According to the words of the Apostle Paul, to eat this bread and drink this wine from this cup, you must do it worthily. Otherwise, you bring judgment upon yourself. I pray that you have prepared yourself properly for this most sacred of feasts. For his name's sake, amen. Let us pray. Almighty and eternal God, communion comes once a month here in this church. Lord, please don't let it become a habit. Make us aware of what it cost you and how you had to prepare yourself. It took you 3 years of ministry to get to that point. 3 years of trying to teach the disciples who you were and what your sacrifice would cost. So let us, who follow in their footsteps, make sure that we have prepared our hearts, that we have repented of our sin, we have taken Jesus as our Saviour, and the evil that lurked in Judas does not lurk within us. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.